Heading into the 4 o'clock hour. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Chris, I've got the Gwen part down pretty good. The Chris part I'm struggling with. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby.
Quiz.
Ryan Bartartelli, Aztecs assistant men's basketball coach. In about 20 minutes, give us our first look-see at the Aztecs hoop team. Brian Dutcher, not available to come on today because he's en route to Las Vegas for the Mountain West Conference Media Day. But that's coming up shortly, so stick around for that. Also a big five. But right now we got Chris versus the fans. Chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see.
Hold up, real quick, sir. Before we move forward.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Phonetic spelling is not right.
It's not right.
No.
Uh-oh.
That is what the press release gave me.
That is not what.
It's not even phonetically right. What is it?
Bartartelli.
That is not what Richard sent me.
Well, this is straight from their website.
I'm telling you what
Richard
he
is the guy. He is
Richard is our guy.
R-A.
I am going back to your screenshot
see. That's where I'm getting it from.
That's the same thing. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's not how he spelled it.
You're right, but their website spelled it the way I put it.
I don't care what the website says.
So I'm going to put an A in there for you.
Can we call
First
him?
First time we have him on the show, want to make sure we get his name right.
Coach Ryan.
Coach Ryan.
Coming on the show.
All right.
Can't wait to talk with him. Chris versus the fans. Pair of tickets, Parker McCollum, coming up at Cal Coast Credit Union. Open Air Theater, October 25th. So 9 days away. You will cash in on these tickets. Limited tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. Let's play ball.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Here are the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or you win if you're on the third question. If you're a first-time player! Let us know before we get into it. You'll get that question for free today. Chris vs. the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. All right, let's get into it. We are going to go with our first contestant. We'll go with Francisco. Hello, Francisco.
Hello, Francisco.
Francisco.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much. I know Francisco's played before, so here we go. I think I've asked this before, but I love asking this question. What TV character lives in a pineapple under the sea?
That would be Mr. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Thank you. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
He said that would be Mr. SpongeBob.
Mr. SpongeBob. I like it. Good job, Francisco.
Never watched that show.
You need to. I think you would actually
enjoy
it.
You don't need to watch it.
That's on my movie list.
During the off-season, what else can we watch? You know?
Thank you. That's going to be on my movie list, the SpongeBob movie for Chris.
He's going to be so mad at you.
All right, Francisco, here we go. Question number two. What college did Emmett Smith go to?
Man.
Not bad, Scraby.
That'd be horrible for me. I'm not going to know this one, but I'm just going to guess Alabama.
You just remembered
the answer to that?
Yeah, I did.
Stay there, Francisco. Oh, he's chomping like a gator.
Gators, he's Florida.
Francisco.
Who that was after everything I just did. I didn't think I knew the answer.
You could have said like the South Carolina Gators.
But I didn't. Sorry, Francisco, but thanks for playing.
Always good to hear
from you.
Yes, they are. All right, here we go to Nick. Hello, Nick.
What's up, Nick?
I find that to be a more offensive name, honestly, than some of the others that they've gotten rid of in college
sports. What name are you referring to?
South Carolina's nickname.
The Gamecocks.
Yes, and you know what they call them for short? They don't call them the game.
Okay, let's just stop
I'm just saying. That seems offensive.
Right there.
But they don't. Nobody makes them change that name. They make them change the Warhawks or something.
They don't call them the Gang.
No, not for short. There, they don't. Right. I'm just saying. Go to a South Carolina football game. Cover your ears.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
So childish.
To Nick. Hello, Nick.
You are childish.
Hey, hope my name's not offensive, Chris.
Nick, no, that's my dad's name, so I can't tell you that it's offensive.
I didn't actually know that.
I didn't actually know that, Chris.
Here we go. Question number one, Nick. How many seasons has Mike Schilt managed the Padres?
That would be one.
One is correct.
Uno.
Nice work, Nick.
All right, question number two. Jason Adam was traded to the Padres for three prospects. Name, do you guys think it's fair to name one of three or two of three?
One. It's a number two question, right?
Yes. All right. Name one of the three prospects traded for Jason Adam.
Major. I'm going to go with Major.
Major?
Yeah.
Stay right there.
Yeah, stay right there, Nick. You know darn well I don't know or care about prospects.
This is why I looked it up.
Couldn't name a single guy. I'd honestly have to just make up a name, and I don't have one. So, and Nick moves on.
Nick moves on.
Yes.
Who are they? All right, Nick.
Tell me who they were.
Dylan Lesko.
All right.
Homer Bush Jr. J.D. Gonzalez.
Oh, man. Had no chance.
All right.
Maybe a slight chance on Dylan Lesko, but not really.
Here we go, Nick. Question number three. Get this right or Chris gets it wrong and you got these tickets. Which Pirates hitter hit the hardest ball of the season, according to StatCast?
Was Giant?
Pirates.
Pirate. Oh, I know this one.
I'll have to go with O'Neal Cruz on that one.
Atta boy,
O'Neal Cruz is correct! Nice job, Nick.
Winning day for you.
He hit it at 121 miles an hour.
Yeah. I think he was like one of the hardest.
Was he out?
No.
I don't remember.
He hit it out of the stadium.
was it a home run? No, it could have been.
I mean, you're right. It could have gone right to someone's glove. But.
Yeah.
They moved him to the outfield at the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
They borrowed a trick from the Padres. They put him in center field. You're right.
Like, you work for that Merrill kid. Why don't they try it with O'Neal?
Let's give it a shot.
O'Neal Cruz, though, I like watching that guy play. He's fun.
Yeah.
Who do you like better, him or the other Cruz? The Reds Cruz.
Ellie
De La Cruz.
I think Ellie's better.
Yeah.
I think he's a little better, too. But
he just strikes out so well.
Ellie cannot hit the ball, but I mean, that wouldn't. FanGraphs, I'm sure, loves Ellie because they don't care about
him. Because he strikes out.
I think FanGraphs loves both of them because the one hits the ball harder than everybody else, and the other does everything.
How did Ke'Bryan Hayes do this year? Didn't he win the gold glove last year?
Last year. He was not a nominee this year, though.
No, he was not.
Yeah. Why do you guys have to bring that up?
I don't know why. He's
trying to just ease into a good mood here. Now you're going to remind me that Manny isn't a finalist.
I forgot. I didn't really check and see what Ke'Bryan Hayes did. Ooh, he had a tough year.
I mean, the Pirates kind of...
He only played 96 games.
After their series with the Padres, they like nosedive from that point on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, played them here. I think we played a matter of, like, nine games. We, like, ruined their season.
That is true. That did happen. And Paul Skeens wasn't man enough to pitch in any of them.
I have the worst feeling about that.
That
rookie thing. When is the day of reckoning on
like
that
November.
Rookie of the Year award?
Find that out, Scrape. Yeah.
Come on, Scrape. I figured you would know this.
I got a bad feeling about it, too.
You know, the reason I had a very good feeling until the last 2 days. Because I was in New York weekend when they brought him in to face the Yankees, and he struck out like five guys in two innings.
Yeah.
And everybody celebrated like he was, you know, the next coming of Cy Young. And I feel like those two innings may have really helped him because it happened in New York against the Yankees, and everybody made a big deal out of it, even when it's not a big deal.
If the funny thing was when Jackson went off, like, Skeens was having like regular good outings. Like he wasn't having like dominant outings.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson was able to do all his damage, like, on the East Coast. So everybody, like, had to see it.
That helped.
And then he played the rest of the season pretty much in the Central over to the West.
Right.
And Skeens, meanwhile, got to stay on the East Coast, had finished strong. You know, there was talk at that point that they were going to shut Skeens down, too. They never actually did that. He ended up finishing the season.
The Gold Glove Awards, I can't find the Rookie of the Year, but they're being announced on November 3rd, so it's got to be right around there.
Yeah, I would assume.
Probably the week after. So we get like three more weeks of believing that Jackson should be the Rookie
Guess
of the
what?
Year.
Guess what article published on September 30th, the title is, Pirates Paul Skeens wins first Rookie of the Year award.
Man,
wait,
September
what?
30th?
Yeah.
Who wrote that? FanGraphs?
No, it was Sports Illustrated, but it was Baseball America named him.
Oh,
well,
you tell me about Sports Illustrated AI written?
Yes.
Yeah, so
but apparently Baseball America has already named Paul Skeens Rookie of the Year.
It's a funny thing when you name something before the season ends.
Yes, it is, Tony. If there's a conspiracy here, it's about the Paul Skeens thing.
Wow.
Because no one thinks the Paul Skeens was
We've gone over it 100 times, and I, you know, now, I'm with you, Scrape. I'm totally with you. I mean,
there's a lot of people who think he's.
Come on, Jackson. Really should be it. He had, the season of a lifetime for a rookie.
Jackson's a baller.
And Skeens didn't even. I mean, you gave the whole thing with Manny the other day, right on the Rookie of the Year, Gold Glove.
Yeah,
was he didn't start the season. Remember, he was hurt, so he didn't play enough games. Well, why shouldn't that factor in on Skeens, who didn't begin the season?
He plays every day.
And on the stat page on MLB.com for basically the entire season, it says Paul Skeens does not qualify for an ERA title. So
I don't believe he ever did, listed. Or he would have won it.
Yeah.
He would have won it.
He definitely would have won.
Yeah, he was below
two. This is the only way they can shoehorn in an award for him. He doesn't qualify for any of the others.
Let's get to break.
Did you say shoehorn?
He did say shoehorn.
And I did the shoehorn move, too.
We'll change gears. Deuce talks about Aztec basketball. Ryan Batratelli, Aztec's assistant men's basketball coach, will join us next. I'm Gwen and Chris. Here's some traffic. .419 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Kind of moving along in this four-hour show. Talked a lot of baseball. Now we're shifting gears, talking some men's basketball, college basketball.
San Diego State men's college basketball.
Indeed.
One of my favorite subjects.
Indeed, and enjoying us right now on Gwynn and Chris, Ryan Batratelli, assistant Aztec men's basketball coach. Ryan, first, welcome to the Mesa. I know you've been here for a little bit now, but it's our first time getting to welcome you. Welcome to the show. We appreciate your time.
Tony, Chris, I really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me on. Man, it's been such a warm welcome here to San Diego. It's been such a pleasure being here. It's been about 4 months, and a lot of things are new for me, but it already feels like home, and that's a testament to what this city is all about.
Coach, talk to us a little bit about the transition. You're coming after a long stint at UC Irvine. You join this staff. I mean, I'm sure having coached against this program, you kind of already know what it's about, but what have you learned in kind of being involved firsthand now that you've been an Aztec for about 4 months?
Well, first off, I'm really excited and thrilled to be on the other bench finally. We played the Aztecs 2 years in a row at UC Irvine, and I know what it feels like being on the other side. And so it's been a thrill to kind of be on the other side of it, to join a program with the immense amount of culture and tradition and fan support. It's been an incredible transition for me, and it's not always easy making a change, especially after 19 years at one place, but it has been as seamless as you can imagine, mostly because of the culture and the people that are here. And that's Coach Dutcher and the entire staff and the athletic department, and really the city of San Diego. I mean, I haven't gone somewhere where there hasn't been just incredibly friendly people and just warm welcome all over the place. And so in a lot of ways, the transition has been relatively seamless in a lot of ways. So that's been a real pleasure.
Ryan Badratelli, the Aztecs basketball assistant coach. Now, Ryan, Coach Dutcher, from what I understand, is on a plane right now to Las Vegas for media day. So he won't hear anything that you say right now. So tell us, really, is he all that easy to work for? Because that's everybody just says he's the world's nicest guy. But how can that truly be?
Yeah, I heard the same thing. You don't know really what you don't know until you step into the office and you're between the lines a little bit. And the one thing I'd say about Dutch, I mean, I think it's almost hard to believe, but he is as good of a human being as you'll find. And I know everybody knows that around here, but it's that interesting combination that he has of being incredibly nice and personable, combined with a great amount of humility and competitive spirit. I think when you see him and you see his demeanor, you see him around, what you maybe don't realize is how competitive he is and how badly he wants to win. You know, when I first interviewed with him, all he could talk about was getting back to the Final Four and winning a national championship and breaking through. And that's what inspired me more than anything, because from a distance, you can see all the things about San Diego State, the great culture, the winning, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of times, and this is what we experienced a little bit at UC Irvine, everyone wants to pat you on the back and tell you how great you are. And you kind of, and human nature is to become complacent, when that happens. And that's just what happens. But with Coach Dutcher and his staff, we want to keep moving the needle forward. And that inspired me, and that made me really, really excited about taking this step, because that competitive spirit that he has, And that is obviously a trickle down from Coach Fisher and the staff and the people that have been here. That is what San Diego State basketball is all about. When you watch San Diego State basketball, you see a competitive fire on both sides of the floor. And that, the character of the team is going to be a reflection of the head coach.
Yeah.
And so as hard and blue collar and tough as the team is a lot of times, sometimes you look at Dutch and you go, well, it seems like there's a disconnect that's burning inside of him. And so as nice as he is, as great of a human being as he is, and as much humility as he has, he's an incredible competitor. And I love being around that. And I love, seeing how he kind of, imposes his personality onto the team with incredible feel for everything around him. He's got a great feel of like what the team needs, what the staff needs, like that. The oversight that he has is not teachable. It's almost like when you are recruiting a player and you can't quite figure out why he's good, but it's that feel that they have that they just kind of have. He has that as a coach,
yeah.
And that's been really fun over the last 4 months to learn from. And I'm really excited to spend this first season, with him and learning from him and the rest of the staff as well.
Ryan Babertelli joins us here on Gwen and Chris, assistant men's basketball coach at the San Diego State. And Ryan, as a new coach coming in on the staff, how easy, how difficult is it to kind of get to know the players? What goes into kind of establishing these relationships that you got to kind of get done in a relatively quick manner?
You know what? I mean, I think the staff has built-in trust with the players, on the team. And I think that comes with time. The staff having been here for 20 plus years, when they bring somebody into the program, there's an inherent trust that goes along with that. And
gotcha.
Nothing's more important in coaching than building trust with players. That's how you get to coach them hard. I mean, that, throughout my career, coaching 19 years of college basketball, 2 years of high school, that's the most important thing, because, coaching in a lot of ways is a lot of the same things. You're doing a lot of the same things different places, but how you do it, how you connect with players, how you get players to buy into doing hard things, to being uncomfortable, is the most important thing. And you're absolutely right. Building that trust and rapport with them has been probably my biggest focus since I've been here, is building that trust and rapport. And all that is just time spent with them. It's not telling
right.
them what you've done in the past. I mean, to me, none of that matters, really. It's what you do for them now, how you show your commitment to them, how you show up every day for them, how you believe in them, how you push them. And that's how you build it. And it's not going to happen as fast as I want. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, you wanted me 19 years at Irvine. I had real equity, you know, with the players and the staff and all that. And that's not going to happen overnight. And that's been a great growth area for me, is understanding that as fast as I want that to go, some of it has to happen organically. And so learning that is a good thing for me to learn at this stage of my career, but also leaning into that and understanding that's the most important thing that I can do with these players and the rest of the staff. And so that's been a big part of what I'm trying to do. And there's only one way to do that. That's to be yourself, to be your organic self, and do it as naturally as you can. And that's what I'm trying to do every day while I'm here.
San Diego State basketball, this is a place that you guys can always find a home, Ryan. Both Tony and I, man, we just love this team and look forward to another great season. And just trying to reacquaint myself, you know, with the Aztecs, and Reese Waters is back, and Miles Byrd, and Miles Heidi, and DeMarche Johnson. And then a couple of transfers. Wayne McKinney from USD was a star there. Nick Boyd from Florida Atlantic played against the Aztecs in the Final Four game. But having mentioned all of those guys, and I think the guy that everyone's going to probably notice before anything else is Magoon Gwath, the 7-foot redshirt freshman.
Kind of hard not to notice.
It's hard not to notice him. What can you tell us a little bit about him? I don't want to put too much pressure on a redshirt freshman, but I've heard some pretty good things, Coach.
Well, it's I appreciate you asking about all these guys, because we do have a talented roster. We do have returners. We do have we do have transfer players and new players that have a chance to have real impact. And the interesting thing about this team is nobody has the same role as what they had last year, which I think leaves a little bit, you know, kind of up in the air to kind of figure out. And I think it's a team that's going to continue to get better throughout the year. But even Reese and Miles, who probably are the most experienced guys on the team, are going to have real different roles. And that includes both, you know, what we're asking of them on the court, but also in the locker room as leaders. There's guys that were there before them that they kind of leaned on a little bit, and now they're elevated in the hierarchy in terms of their leadership potential. And so it'll be interesting to see how those guys can embrace those new roles along with everybody else. And you bring up Magoon Gwath. I mean, you know, he is one of those guys that you look at and you can't kind of take your eyes off of it, because you're trying to figure out, like, how is he 7 feet? How is he doing what he's doing? Because he can dribble, pass, shoot. He's really smart. But he's never played a minute of college basketball. So you got to be somewhat careful, kind of like what you're saying, in terms of what are the expectations for him. But what I know is that he has high expectations for himself. The commitment he has to being in the gym, the desire he has to be good and to compete, is extremely high. And so when you have that framework, you have a lot of good potential there. But we also have to understand that he's a long way away from where he's going to go. And so I think Magoon, again, as he plays minutes in college basketball, and as you guys know, there's nothing more valuable than actual game minutes. It's real different than playing a scrimmage, an inter-squad scrimmage like we have day-to-day in practice. It's what it's going to look like when the lights are on, people are around, the popcorn's popping, and he's out there. And it's going to be a roller coaster, just like any other freshman. But the talent's there, the desire and competitiveness to be really good is there for him. It's going to be one of those things that he's going to be fun to watch for Aztec fans as we go along. And his future is incredibly bright. And so we're super excited about, you know, him and what he can be. I mean, he's unbelievably versatile. Like, he'll play a forward spot. He can play some wing for us. He shoots a post. So he's extremely versatile. He's as good of a shot blocker as I've ever coached, and I coach a 7'6" guy. So Magoon, like, he's one of those guys that you think you have a layup and you don't, right? He just comes out of nowhere, and so it's just, he's just one of those guys that on both ends of the floor, he makes some special plays. But he'll be a freshman too, right? He'll look out there and go, "What are you doing?" And so it's that balance that we have with him, and not lowering the expectations by any means. Continue to raise the expectations, but also understand there's going to be some growth along the way.
You certainly, Coach, have one of the main characteristics every single coach that ever come on this show has, and that is the ability to keep things in perspective, no matter how talented a team may be. So we certainly appreciate your time, you coming on today. We look forward to talking to you more and more this season. And we're certainly going to be rooting for this hoop team for sure all year.
I appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Ryan Badratelli, Aztecs assistant men's basketball coach, joining us there. This Aztec team, it sounded a lot like last year. You know, when Ryan was talking about, you know, guys are going to be in different roles, I feel like that was almost verbatim what was said at the beginning of last season, and we kind of saw that season kind of turn into what it was. So
it was a pretty good season. They were in the Sweet 16, and they really weren't supposed to be, you know, able to do a whole lot last year. And then Jaden Ledee happened, that kind of changed things. But you look at this squad, you know, if it's just about returning players, Reese Waters, Miles Byrd are really the only two you're going to remember.
I'm telling you, Miles Byrd is someone to watch.
I agree.
Because remember, he came up here last year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to be here for that interview, but he came up here with you guys.
Yeah, he was great.
He was just a guy who just seems like he wants to be good. He wants to be great. And so,
but I've seen the clips of Magoon Gwath, and whether it's dunking or hitting three pointers, Tony. He's kind of an interesting guy.
He said that he plays
just
some of the
wing. Interesting guy. He
a
does.
A 7-foot winger.
He's a face-up three shooter, and he dunks and blocks shots. It's too much pressure to put on one kid, but I'm excited to see him.
All right. Let's get to break then.
Did I just drop the mic there?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know much about basketball, but I sent you guys a tweet from John Rothstein saying that Magoon Gwath is going to be a household name by Christmas, which is a lot of pressure still, but apparently he's good enough to get all these great things to be said about him.
We're looking forward to it. Let's get to break. Big Five on the other side. Mark, Gwynn, and Chris.
Well done. And his Aztec men's basketball coach interview debut with us. Stacey Terry Hudson, always a fan favorite on this show. She'll join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Women had their media day in Las Vegas today to get ready for the upcoming season. A little preview of that interview. The Aztec women's team is going to be good this year, Tony.
Is that right?
And I don't always say that.
No, I bet if I'm being fair.
Right.
And all the years that I've worked, Scraby, you could be my witness on this. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
They are going to be good.
That's awesome.
Really good this year.
If we're keeping it a buck, it's kind of been slow build. The last two, three years, it started to take off.
What did they? They went to the Sweet 16 last year. The Aztecs,
the women.
No. Yeah,
no, that would be great.
I thought they had a really good year last year.
No, what happened was they were they made a great run in the Mountain West tournament
the
final.
That's right.
Lost to the Las Vegas team. The men did make the Sweet 16,
but the women, I remember having a great run, and then they've played the New Mexico, right? Was it
UNLV? Yeah. Which
I should just stop talking.
You should.
Right color.
UNLV is UNLV's been the dominant women's team for a few years in that conference, but the Aztecs gave them a run for it. All right, here we go with traffic in today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I will say one thing.
What are you going to say?
As soon as I get over the Padres 2024 season, I look up on TV and I see the Dodgers being announced, and it makes me angry all over again because Tony should be in New York right now calling this game. Chris and I should just be finishing up, or Sammy Lev should be doing his pregame right now. None of that's happening. None of it.
True.
It's very upsetting.
True that.
Very, very upsetting.
Mets and Dodgers start in 20 minutes. If you want to rush home to watch it.
I don't think many people are going to be rushing.
I'll tell you what I recommend. Honestly, this is WNBA Final Game 3. I think this will be a great game tonight with the Liberty and the Lynx.
Good hoop.
Getting started short.
Good hoops.
Good hoops. Real quick, I am trying to make sure that I have the correct sponsor read. I was hoping to have this done by now, but... All right. Big Five is brought to you by Summit Subaru of El Cajon. See all the two ways to save right now at summitsubaru.com. And we're going to start with...
Number five.
The NBA. Can you guys believe we just started with the NBA? But Victor Wembanyama, former number one overall pick for the Spurs, who had a really great year last year.
Not really. They didn't make the playoffs.
Well, no, had a great year. That's what I meant. Oh. Like, he had a great year.
You said they.
Okay.
Just correcting you,
okay,
which
thanks,
is something
Chris.
I do often.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
This is the time that we normally do the correcting, too, Big Five. So this is perfect timing. Go ahead.
You're going to get him in a mood. We're going to get him in a mood.
Victor Wembanyama was asked what surprised him the most about his NBA rookie year, and his quote was this. Some NBA stars are really impressive and inspiring in the way they approach the game, but others that I used to like, they don't seem like they put in as much work as I thought. So my question for you, Chris, do you think this is going to irk people around the NBA that he said this?
No, I think most of the people around the NBA probably already knew this.
That's a good point.
Not everybody works as hard as Kobe. Or Michael.
That's true.
Or even Wembanyama. Maybe he's a hard worker and looks around and doesn't see guys working as hard as him. It doesn't shock me that there are certain players in all sports that are so darn talented and probably just don't have that same work ethic. But I don't think that's always a bad thing. You know, we kind of make it out to be that they're lazy. You know, maybe they just are better than a lot of guys. But I can see how this would be surprising to Wembanyama. Because you come into the league, the NBA, you expect everybody to be diving for every loose ball at every practice. And it's not like that. Tony, you probably have an interesting perspective on that with baseball. Because that's a sport you can't try as hard as you can all the time.
Yeah, but you can see.
You can see it?
There's a difference between trying in a game too hard and doing the work that's necessary so that when the game starts, you can kind of just play.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that's probably the, for anybody who gets a chance to play professional sport, I think that's one of the, like, more eye-opening things is that not everybody works the same. You know, and some guys can get away with it and have success. Most guys can't. And so, you know, for Wembanyama, who's looked up to these NBA players his whole life coming into this league.
Yeah, right. There's probably some players.
It probably was a little bit of a letdown of how he had imagined it, right? Because I'm sure he grew up in an era where he was hearing all the Kobe stories and kind of maybe just assumed everybody worked like that, and that's not the case.
Remember guys like Magic Johnson and even Larry Bird, who was a successful coach, but a lot of great players can't be coaches. Because the people they're coaching don't work anywhere near as hard as they used to.
And they can't deal with it. They can't take the hard coaching that those guys took.
Mm. Yeah.
At least that's according to them in some ways.
All right. Wemby, I love that he's speaking his mind. That's good stuff.
It's also an advantage in his mind. Like some of these all-stars I thought were, you know, working hard. I know I'm out working them, so I ain't worried about them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take their spot here in a second.
All right. Number four. The Davante Adams trade has gone down, and he will now be a Jet. There's some criticism out there for him because Adams has said the one thing he has not accomplished in his career is a Super Bowl championship. So many people are asking why he made certain choices with a Lombardi trophy in mind. One of those questions, why would Davante Adams sign an extension with the Raiders and then force a trade to the Jets if he wants a championship? Tony, basically, why didn't he try to get on a team that actually has championship hopes?
Dolphins already have too many receivers. There's just no room. Simply no room.
This is actually an easy answer. I think when he got traded from Packers, I think he was of the mind that he could solely make a difference on a team, which is why he accepted to go to Raiders. And then he got there and realized that Aaron Rodgers was not throwing him the football. There was only one good defensive player on the other side and Max Crosby. And I think he realized this is going to be way harder than I thought it was going to be. Remember, he had only played with Aaron Rodgers his whole life. So, I mean, it was just like, even when they were bad, he was still eating. And sure. I think what happened is he realized, oh man, the grass ain't quite greener on this side.
No.
And so now your options are limited. Really, you gotta go to the team that's gonna offer the team you're currently on the deal that they want in order to get out of there. So I don't think he gets to really pick at this point where he goes. He's just happy at this point that he's going to a quarterback that he knows can get him the ball at least.
All right. Chris, why didn't he try to get on a team actually with championship hopes?
Why? I'm not sure, but other than the fact that maybe the Raiders, as dysfunctional as they seem, we're not going to trade him to a team in their own division.
The Chiefs, maybe?
The Chiefs, who need a wide receiver desperately.
No shot.
You know, the Raiders are...
I'm glad they at least held that line.
They at least held that line. So, you know, I mean, you say force the trade to the Jets. I think he forced the trade.
Right. He didn't force
the Jets was somebody he put on his list because he knew the likes of the Chiefs were probably out of the question. So.
All right.
By the way, how cold does it look in New York?
It looks freezing.
For the Mets game?
They're all wearing gloves.
They got gloves on.
I got to look up the weather real quick in New York just to see what it's all about.
In Queens?
In Queens. It says 50 with a low of 39.
Oh, tonight. It'll be. Yeah, it's getting to 39 about now.
Right there.
Man.
Walker Buehler going to go sleeveless tonight with the tight pants?
We don't find out.
And 39?
All right. This is why it would be so much better if this was in... Well,
we would be there.
Yeah, that's right. Never we would be there. Tony mentioned this earlier, but 10 years ago, NBA commissioner Adam Silver wrote in the New York Times, quote, betting on professional sports is currently illegal in most of the United States outside of Nevada. I believe we need a different approach, end quote. A change certainly happened and seems to have taken on a life of its own. He was asked about this recently, and he said, quote, I'd say when it comes to sports betting, I certainly don't regret writing that op-ed piece and being in favor of legalized sports betting. I still think you can't turn the clock back. I think, as I said at the time, with the advent of the internet, widely available sports betting online, that we had to deal directly with technology and recognize that if we don't legalize sports betting, people are going to find ways so to do it illegally. Oh, he's a saint. Do you, Chris, do you think he should feel some responsibility for sports betting changing so many lives for the worse? Oh. Tony rolled his eyes.
You know that you... Same way about the gambling and the potential pitfalls. But I do ultimately feel, like we do our segment here, it's still up to the people out there that are doing the gambling,
Agreed.
That are ruining their own lives. I can't make Adam Silver responsible for that. What I can be concerned with, and am still concerned with, is, you know, some big scandal somewhere someday that could really have an effect on the game. And if that happens, then Adam Silver and all these guys
They're
are going to take
it.
Some of the blame.
Yeah, for sure.
But for what's happening now... You know, he's drawing a sweet check from FanDuel
That's
or
what
whatever,
I'm saying.
And he's putting that ahead of what he should be.
He's acting like he's this saint and he's saving people from doing illegal things.
He's not fooling me.
He's not
fooling me, but yeah. I think you're being a tad
People are hard. Going to find ways to do it illegally. So we need to come up with
a
solution. Because we need to come up with a solution. So people don't do these illegal things. I'm a saint. My name is Adam Silver.
Oh, my God.
Silver the Saint.
You guys.
He's a silver saint surfer.
I particularly like this part of the line. I certainly don't regret writing the op-ed. It was all, I mean, he kind of predicted that. He seemed to be insinuating in the op-ed that
it was headed
it
in
was
this
headed
direction.
This direction. Yeah. So he was fully prepared. I don't think he should feel responsibility for sports betting changing so many lives.
For the worse.
But as Chris said, I want to keep saying if, but I'm starting to feel like it's more like when.
I know.
This big scandal happens.
I mean, what was it? Jonte Porter, is that his name? Who got banned from the NBA because he was fixing things?
Yeah, see, as long as... here's my take on that. As long as it's individualized, they can make it. But the moment there's like some connections and it has to do with games...
Yep.
It's going to be real
tough.
We already have
athletes running from threatening situations.
Right.
The Breanna Stewart... one is just the latest.
I couldn't help but think about this commercial I saw today with Bill Belichick. I don't know if you guys seen this. Bill Belichick is sitting in a chair at home, it looks like, and players, I think the kid Maxie from the 76ers, calls him and is like asking him the deal on certain football players. I was like, yo, is he? This is like not a good look.
That is weird.
Right?
Yeah. That is strange.
Because I'm going to bet on the game.
Right.
I need to know.
It just seems kind of outlandish to me, but it's a real commercial happening.
That is weird. I haven't seen that commercial, but... Number two. All right, we have a coach's hot seat to talk about with the NFL being 6 weeks into the season. Yahoo Sports put the top coaches on the hot seat after Robert Saleh was fired last week by the Jets. The article said Doug Peterson of the Jaguars has the hottest seat. Then Mike McCarthy, Nick Sirianni of the Eagles, Dennis Allen of the Saints, and Brian Dable of the Giants. So, Tony, who is the next head coach of the NFL to be fired?
I don't know how Mike McCarthy is second on this list. I really don't.
How is he not the only guy on this list?
His seat isn't even hot anymore at this point. It is, like, white hot. Like, I can't, like, really? They put my man, well, Doug Peterson, I guess he'd be up there too, but I still think Mike McCarthy's, it's him and then like a drop off and then Doug Peterson.
I got a number two guy behind Mike McCarthy that
Mike
they
McDaniel?
Didn't mention.
No,
well, he's irking me for sure. No, the guy I would on there is Stefanski of Cleveland.
Oh,
I mean, this team is falling apart.
That's a good one.
And I could see ownership blaming him, even though we all know that it's ownership that's making him play Deshaun Watson.
Is definitely going to blame him.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's not on the hot seat, is because everybody knows it's the owners at this point.
But I would keep an eye on Cleveland there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I don't think we have enough time to get into the last one.
We got enough time.
Well, I have a video and...
We can do it on the other side.
Yeah, because I want to play the video. Fireman Ed is
the
very
Jets?
Angry, yes.
Is that the Jet guy that they show
every...
ad nauseum during every Jet game?
Yes.
He's a little angry about it.
As a matter of
about
fact, I believe...
Him?
About
no,
them
normally,
not showing him.
Oh,
they're not showing him enough now, he thinks?
He put out an Instagram video.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I will have it for you.
Let's wait. Yeah, that's
okay. Doesn't he know that on the screen now on Fox Sports,
they put a-
it says Fireman Ed's picture coming up in 5 minutes? You didn't know that?
It just pops up with him in his helmet.
Just like Otani.
A shot of Fireman Ed in 5 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
We'll hear from Fireman Ed when we get back here on Quinn and Chris 97.3 The Fan.